Bibles and turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Last time we left off on the 12th verse of Hebrews 3, and I just want to pick up with that verse and just look at that one verse this evening again for just a few minutes. Let's read verse 12, then we'll have a word of prayer. Hebrews 3:12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you this evening for this blessing that we have to be able to call upon your holy name, knowing that, Lord, our approach unto you is only in and by the Lord Jesus Christ, He who ever liveth to make intercession for us. Lord, would you help us this evening to just glean from your word? Would you teach us of the mercy that you've shown us in Christ? For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Last time we were looking at this few verses before, we found where a large group of people had come out of Egypt. The Lord sent Moses into Egypt to lead the nation of Israel out. And there was a general appearance of faithfulness. When they came out, they all looked like people of God, believers. They all crossed the Red Sea. They all were following that pillar of a cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. They all ate manna. They all drank from that rock. But time began to prove the reality of unbelief. Many that came out of Egypt. Verse 8 of this third chapter, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. In the irritation is what that is, the irritation of the wilderness. When some were stubborn against the Lord, and they resisted His providence, and resisted His dealings with them. Verse 9 says that your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my works for 40 years. They scrutinized God for validity. Tested him for a reason of acceptance. They doubted God. That unbelief. Verse 10 says that God was grieved with that generation and said they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. Obviously, there were among the people, there were some believers in that group. You know that. Joshua, you know that. Caleb, Moses. But obviously, there were a lot of tares among the wheat. Tares are always those that profess to believe the gospel of God's free grace. That's tares. Tares are not the ones that are sitting under false religion. That's not tares. Tares are sown among the wheat. They pretend to believe God Almighty. The Lord said in verse 11, I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Many of them never entered into Canaan. A picture of the rest, final rest of God's people. But this condemnation that's set forth in the wilderness, the apostle is warning the Hebrews that he's writing to. He's warning them. Just like what he's saying is, just like there were many that came out and they appeared for a while, and their murmurings and strivings and doubtings and unbelief proved that they were really not the people of God. Now, as I said before, and I'm going to read this again. You can turn to 1 Peter. I want this clearly established in our mind. 1 Peter 1, 3 to 5. Here it is. All that Almighty God has everlastingly loved, all that the Lord has called out of darkness, all that God Almighty has revealed Christ to, they are secure. Now, I do know this. There is in every believer, we find unbelief in every believer. Now, you know that. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I'm telling you, there's strugglings and strivings in our heart that we hate. A believer hates to see the evidence of that old nature, but he knows it's there. 1 Peter 1, 3 to 5, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith, unto salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So the truth of God's keepingness, the truth of the sheep being secure in the Lord Jesus Christ is not the issue. The issue that Paul is dealing with these Hebrews and with each of us, is whether or not the evidence of salvation or the evidence of an evil heart of unbelief. Notice the way that's written. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Scripture didn't say a heart of unbelief, though I do know that there is unbelief in every believer. I know that. And I know, as I said a moment ago, we struggle with it. But he's saying something here when he says, be careful, take heed, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief that evidences itself in departing from the living God. What we've got in these verses, what we're dealing with, is the evidence of our profession. Whether my profession is genuine or not. Mr. Robert Hawker said this, Cause me, O Lord, to mark that grace which kept back your true people from murmuring then when you brought Israel out of Egypt. God's people, the thought of murmuring against God, of doubting God, of questioning God, is a horrible thought to a believer. I don't want to be disrespectful to Him. I don't want to question Him. Many provoked God in the wilderness, but not all of them. All of them, without a doubt, was touched with that unbelief. But there's an evil heart of unbelief that will depart from the living God. Brethren, we're in a world that's warring against us. We're in this world, the Lord says we're not of it. We're struggling, we're strangers, we're pilgrims. And if the Lord has truly done something for us, we know something about this struggle. But thanks be unto God, He's going to keep us. One day, we'll be relieved from the very presence of sin. In taking heed and giving diligence to make our calling and election sure, what we're actually doing is saying, Lord, keep me from an evil heart of unbelief. Lord, help me. Many of them came out, raising that high hand, praise the Lord, everything's fine. They that endure to the end, resting in Christ, believing Christ, trusting Christ, struggling against themselves, warring against that which they see within themselves. Paul said, I see in me, that is in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. To will is present with me. How to accomplish that which I would I find not. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? A believer struggles against it. Wars against it. Many people profess that the sheep of God will never perish. And rightly so. But we have no right to apply that eternal security with any kind of confidence unless we give evidence of being conformed to the character of a believer. I've said before, believers act like believers. Do believers ever see in themselves unbelief? Oh, you know they do. But what do? They cry unto the Lord, Lord, I'm so sorry. Forgive me. Quickest is not the word I'm looking for. But the place where I find the greatest struggle for myself is in prayer. Prayer. Warring against myself. Doubting my, just striving to pray. And all of a sudden realizing, where was I? Lord, help me. The Lord said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. The sheep hear the voice of the Master. They know that He's the way, the truth, and the life. They know that His voice is going to guide them through the Scriptures. Lord, help me to believe this. Lord, if Your providence has so directed to place me here, Lord, teach me. You said, You'll never leave me and You'll never forsake me. Help me. Lord, help me to bow to that. I would desire. I don't want to question You. The Lord Jesus calls personally and powerfully His sheep unto Himself. And they trust Him. They do trust Him. They follow after to keep with His revealed will in the Holy Scriptures. And they follow Him because of love that's wrought within their heart. So take heed. Be watchful. be aware of. An evil heart of unbelief strives and resists against God Almighty, and that unchecked. Unchecked. This blessed exhortation is for the good of God's people. We need to be reminded of faithfulness. We're weak creatures in ourselves. And we rejoice in hearing the need to be watchful, to take heed, be careful. When my kids would be playing outside, and I said, "Be careful. Don't go in the street. Be careful. If you cross the street, be watchful." It was a warning because I loved them and I wanted them to be watchful. God's people hear the warning of Almighty God and recognize it as being a loving warning from Him who will not leave us and will not forsake us. But in closing, the apostle exhorts the people in taking heed lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. That evil heart is what I want to make a couple of statements on here and show you the difference between an evil heart of unbelief and having a heart that often is found to be with doubt or questions, and that not being an evil heart of unbelief. If there's an evil heart of unbelief, obviously there is something within a believer, because you know we have doubts, you know we have questions, but if there's an evil heart of unbelief, can it be that there's a healthy questioning? A healthy doubt, if you would? Questions because of our lack of knowledge or having an honorable doubt. Let me say this. Concerning the truth of God's will is not an evil heart of unbelief. Let me say that again. Questions because of our lack of knowledge or having an honorable doubt concerning the truth of God's Word is not a heart of unbelief. Believers are learning as we go through this life. If we weren't learning, then we wouldn't be able to be growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But as we're going, you're going to find that there are things that come up, things that you hear, things that you question, things that you, in a healthy way, doubt. Acts 17, let me read this to you. 10 to 11. Now, I'm going to give you a scripture that shows you what I'm talking about. This is not an evil heart of unbelief, what I'm about to read about. It is a healthy questioning, a healthy wondering about concerning God's Word. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews, and these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. They listened attentively to the word of God. They were respectful before the gospel. They didn't reject it as being unworthy or unworthy of examination. They affirmed what they heard according to the Scriptures. That is a healthy wondering, a healthy questioning. Whenever you hear someone make a statement, make sure that you confirm it by the Word of God. That's not an evil heart of unbelief. If somebody tells you something and the Lord has not given you light on it, look it up. That's the right way to do it. That's not an evil heart of unbelief. Just because somebody says something does not make it so. Believe not every spirit. That's what John said. Believe not every spirit. Search the Scriptures. A believer listens well, but what he hears is going to be based on what God reveals. A healthy doubt says, I'm not sure, and I must satisfy my questioning by God's Word. That which He has revealed, hear it. Bow to it. When speaking to the disciples, our Lord said concerning the end of the world in Matthew 24:4, He says, take heed that no man deceive you. But those words are alive today for every situation. Weigh all things in the balance of the Scriptures. That is what's going to not fade. That's what's going to endure. The Word of God. So to wonder or to question whether or not something is so is not an evil heart of unbelief. An evil heart of unbelief refuses to believe what God has clearly revealed to be so. An evil heart of unbelief is the absence of confidence in Almighty God. It is to doubt, to question, and to murmur against His dealings with men and His right to do so. If you want to get to the very heart of an evil heart of unbelief, let me ask you these three questions. Number one, is salvation all of grace, or is it of works? Now you know when it comes right down to it, this is the heart. This is the heart question of all places where men sit and listen to somebody stand and preach. This is the heart of it right here. Is salvation all of grace, or is it by works, man's works? Number two, is it according to God's will or man's will? Now I'm telling you, you know that the Word of God reveals that salvation is not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Is salvation according to God's will or man's will? And the question is, who gets the glory for these things? All of this sums up. Salvation is all of grace. When it comes right down to it, those that were in the desert, Almighty God brought them out of Egypt. Almighty God had promised those that trust Him, believe Him, they were going to Canaan. Many of them died because of an evil heart of unbelief. Why did you bring us here? We had it a whole lot better when we were in Egypt. Almighty God gives His people a heart that bows to Him and trusts Him and thanks Him. Are these trials and tribulations, are they not grievous? Yes, they are. Paul says, but for a moment, these light afflictions. And when they come, I remember whenever, oh, a year or so ago, I'd gone to the doctor. And the doctor told me, he said, "Well, I found a tumor on your bladder." Boy, that mulled around in my mind for a while. You know, that always happens to somebody else. I called Brother Scott. I told him, I said, "Well, I just went to the doctor and he told me I had a tumor on my bladder." You know what he told me? He said, "You want to know the worst part of that? Is when you first hear it." He said, after that, he said, "It's not that bad." And I got to thinking about that. My first reaction was to question God's providence, question God's dealings. Surely that can't be. I mean, I've got a, you know, I've got a pastor of this church. I've got a wife. Your mind immediately goes to the end. I mean, that first, you know. But then in the good providence of Almighty God, the Lord begins to settle His people down. And you begin to think on this, and you begin to realize, you know, "You've dealt well with me. I wouldn't change that for anything. Oh, that which He's taught me, I wouldn't trade that for anything." To see the sustaining grace of God, that Almighty God would settle my heart. And just that song we sing, Gary, it's well with my soul. I can just, "Lord, thank You. Lord, if You settle my heart, I'm okay. Lord, keep me from murmuring against You. Lord, keep me from an evil heart of unbelief. Lord, teach me concerning Your ways. Lord, to Your honor and my good, thank You. Lord, keep me because I can't keep myself. For the honor and sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen." Okay, Gary.